Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Chapter 5, verse 1. All right, thank you. Everybody, please, let's read together. 1, 2, go. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Genesaret. Praise the Lord. May this also come to pass this morning. Amen. It says, it came to pass as the people did what? They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. What did he do? He stood. Now you can imagine somebody standing just by the lake at the shore on sandy soil, and the multitudes came, and what were they doing? They were pressing. They crowded so much around him, and he felt it. And this is my prayer. May God give us in this place hungry men and women for the word of God. People who can press to hear God's word. They were not just there for miracles primarily. No. Why were they pressing? They wanted to hear the word of God. And they had to press. And honestly, to me, that seems like a competition. That seems like a struggle among the crowd. I checked this passage in the Amplified Version. You know what it says? It says, they pressed upon him to hear him better. There was a struggle among the multitudes. Maybe people were changing positions and they were moving forward. They were moving forward, pushing one another just to hear him how? To hear him better. But he stood by the lake, and the multitudes kept pressing him. And I thank God, it's Jesus, we can press like that. When you press him, what comes out of him? The word will come out. And he was preaching. They were pressing him, and the word was coming out. Hungry men and women for the word were receiving that word from his mouth. Look, don't believe the rebellion you see outside against God. There are still men and women who are pressing to do what? To hear God's word. One day Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. What did he say to Jesus? In chapter 3 of the book of John, he said, Master, we know you are a teacher come from where? From God. When I read that, I underlined it in my Bible. So, you know, if I were Jesus, you know what I would have done? So why were you opposing me? Why were you criticizing me? So you all know I'm a teacher from God. You all know God sent me here. So why do you publicly stand against me? He said, no man can do the miracles you do except God be with him. But when you look at the Pharisees outside in public meetings of Jesus, criticizing Jesus, you would never believe they had such in their minds until Nicodemus came to expose them that night. He He said, we know, not just I, we the Pharisees, we know you are from God. So they press upon him because they wanted to get God's word out of him. And that's one way you can have an encounter with God. Because an encounter with God's word is actually an encounter with God. If you can get the word of God, you have gotten God. If you can get God's word, God, you have met him. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So getting God's word is getting God. If I want to encounter God, I go through the pages of my Bible. I may not have dreams like some people have dreams. I may not see vision like some people see vision. I preach in a program and the power of God came. And one young man came to me. He said, what I want? I want to see vision. He said, pray for me to see vision. Oh, I didn't want to pray for him to see vision. Honestly. Because one way I know you can have an encounter with God that we know it's general is what? The word. Anyone who can have an encounter with God's word would surely have an encounter with God. Years ago, 18 years ago now, I was sick. The doctor examined me and they told me I possibly had a heart disease. That was what the doctor said. After careful examination, I said, what will I do? He said, you come back. And the doctor who examined me happened to be my spiritual father. My mentor, Dr. Kole Akinboboye, took me to this hospital. And I was given a book to read about heart health. Your heart health. And this book had three authors. Two of them heart surgeons. The other one was the pastor of the church. And as I went through this book from one chapter to another, everything I read in this book told me I had a heart disease, truly. Because every symptom of a man with a heart disease was in my life. At what age? Just 36 years. Prior to that time, I had fainted 3 times preaching on the pulpit. I fell down preaching. I was in one meeting. As I began to preach, I asked them to open the scripture. They opened the scripture. They read it. I felt tired on the inside. So I was trying to gather my strength. What did I tell them? I said, read further down. They read further down. I said, you have finished what I said, keep reading. Thinking by the time they will finish reading the chapter, I would have. As I opened my mouth, I just went down. They carried me from the pulpit into the ambulance. I'm telling you. And that was my first time in that church. Their men's fellowship convention, final day, Sunday. They carried me into the ambulance. Another time I was preaching in a church. It was a regime church. It was their convention again. The whole place was flooded with light. But as I was preaching, I couldn't see any light again. Everywhere was dark. But this hall was not dark when I began to preach. Huh? I didn't see anybody. Everything went blank. So I knew, the other day I fell down. I think that is what was about to repeat itself. So guess what I did? I just stopped the message midway. And I called the brother who followed me. I said, come and lead us to pray. And I gave the mic to him. And when I asked everybody to stand up, I just went to sit down. And they were wondering, some were looking at me. My wife was there. She was praying. And I sat down and I was sweating profusely. They brought all kinds of water. They brought water. They brought juice. They brought malt. And I didn't touch one because I was denying what I was going through. I didn't want anybody to know. And I rested for about 10 minutes. And I came up again, finished the message. And I went to see the doctor the following day. And the doctor told me, if you didn't drop that mic and you fell down, you would have been dead. If you were not dead, you would have been paralyzed. They told me. At another time, I was just fasting. I didn't eat. That morning, I went to my office toilet, but I didn't come out until after 2 hours. What happened? I got there, and by the time I woke up after 2 hours, I was standing up from the floor of the toilet. And then my memory was coming back. What did I come to do here? Oh, I came to use the toilet, but I didn't use it eventually. I fainted. And everything told me I had a heart disease. And that troubled me, honestly. I wake up in the night, I will look at my wife. Guess what I will be telling her in my heart? She was asleep. I said, Kai, you will soon become a widow. I was still preaching, but I was dying. I looked at my children, 4 of them. I'll go to their rooms in the night. They will soon become fatherless. I was still preaching. One day, I went to the bathroom to take my bath. But before I took my bath, a scripture just came to my heart like a lightning. A very powerful scripture. I had never seen that passage in that light in my life up until that time. Romans chapter 8 verse 11. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall likewise also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I didn't take my bath again. That scripture came as a lightning to my heart. Rather than pouring water or opening the shower, I began to pray in tongues inside the bathroom. Revival broke out inside my bathroom. And I began to speak in tongues. By the time I stepped out of the bathroom, I didn't have just washed my body. God had cleansed my heart. God had cleansed my blood. 18 years have gone and passed. There is no symptom of such again in my life. How did that encounter come? By the word. By the word. They praised Jesus. Put U-R-E after that press. What do you have? Pressure. When life's pressure comes, what should come out? The word. When you are pressed, the word must come out of you. But the word that will come out of you must actually be the word that has gone inside you. If you want an encounter, get the word of God. Put it in your heart. And I've not seen anything like that again in my life. Because God's word came. So the people came to Jesus and they were pressing. I must get my own word. I must get my own word. You remember that scripture, Psalm 105 verse 19? It says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. May your word come. Amen. I'm talking about encountering God through his word. Yes, there are supernatural things. There are spectacular things you can experience. But I'm telling you the basis. Encounter with the word. press upon Jesus. We live in a busy world. Could be very difficult to read your Bible. Could be very difficult. And let me tell you, there is no man, there is no woman who does not find it difficult at one time or the other to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to meditate on the scriptures. There is no man, there is no woman who doesn't find it difficult. And that's why I like the word, the King James Version. He said they did what? They pressed. And it, all the multitudes pressed to hear the word of God. And I like Jesus. He stood. And after he could no longer stand, the pressure from the multitudes, what did he ask for in verse 2? The Bible says he saw what? Two ships. But they were empty. The fishermen had done what? Gone out of them. And they were washing their nets. So as they kept pressing, he just said, I'll do what? And he got into one of them, which belonged to Simon. And as soon as he stepped in, he called Simon, please, push a little away from the multitudes. And surprisingly, Jesus sat down to preach. How old was Jesus at that time? 33, maximum. He had not gone to the cross. He eventually died at 3.5 years. So it was in his early 30s when he began to sit down to preach. I used to think sitting down to preach is a sign of weakness. I used to think, why would you sit down to preach? Why? At 33, at 32. And I had to learn how to sit down to preach. And I didn't want to learn it after I had become weak. It's better I learn it now that I'm still strong. Jesus wasn't weak when he sat down to preach. They put me somewhere to preach, to talk about something. I was sitting there, it was in a studio. I stood up. I said, no, you don't do that here. So you don't do that here. You see, the thing is, yeah. He said, no, you must be calm. I said, okay, I'll sit down. So Jesus sat down and he told Peter, excuse me, just push a little away. And that tells me Peter actually gave him the consent to use what? His boat. Use my boat. So Peter pushed. But at that time, what was Peter doing? He was washing his nets. He didn't catch anything. So he was among those listening to what? The word. And like we were saying yesterday, if Jesus were to be alive physically here in our generation, he would be on YouTube, he would be on TikTok, he would be on Facebook. I'm telling you, because Jesus in his lifetime was going to where people were. And people were at the seashore. Traders were there. People went to the fishing business, they were there. Fishermen were there. And he went there to where they were walking. And people gathered and he preached to them from Peter's boat. So Peter's boat became his pulpit. And he sat down and preached. And when he was done preaching, I like this. When he was done preaching, what did Jesus say to Peter? I'm done with your sheep. We see you when? Another time when I come. He didn't do that. Jesus doesn't use people and dump them. And then he asks him, Peter, get back to the high sea for some catch. Peter replied, Master, not just me, we have toiled, we have labored all night, and we have caught nothing. But because you said it, I'll go back. He doesn't use you and dump you. If he has called you to use you in any capacity, he will reward you for it. That is where this year is our year of rest. Because reward is coming. Reward is coming. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain. You've given him your certificate, he will give you something in return. He doesn't cheat anybody. Nobody can stand and say, I gave you my life, but you destroyed my life. I gave you my boat, you destroyed my boat. Don't mind that my friend I told you about, he actually came back to Christ. He was in this Maryland. He said, God, you disappointed me. I labored for you on the campus. I worked for you. I thought you would give me a job quickly. You are here to answer me. And he was angry with God. Look at what I did for you. Look at what I did for you. What have you done for me? And I had to plead with him. Forgive God. God does not use anybody to dump. If you have not seen the reward of what you have done, wait. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. In due season. Oh, look at me, I'm not married. Am I not beautiful? Nobody has ever approached me. In due season. I've been married for 10 years. No child. Hey. Before I got married, I had been praying for people to stop miscarriages in their lives. Only for me to get married. And we had 2 miscarriages in quick succession. One day my wife didn't show up in church. And they said, oh, what happened? I said, she's resting at home. They said, we understand. They didn't understand. My wife was angry. That why should we be having miscarriages? She didn't come to church because of that. Ask these ministers of God. There are things you make happen for others. And you lack them in your own life. I went to preach in an Anglican church. I struggled to go there to preach. I prayed the first day. I said, I will come back the following day. And I said, the following day, there will be miracles. I said, you will see fire here tomorrow. But that following day, I couldn't stand up from the bed. My wife said, I should not go. I should send somebody else. I said, I will go. If I didn't go, they would say, this man, his mouth is too big. So he knew nothing would happen. That's why he escaped. I said, let me go. While I was going into my car, I bent over. I couldn't stand up straight. I was so sick. I would go to the church and I sat down. And when the choir began to sing, the power of God came on my life. I said, choir, quick. They didn't invite me, sir. The choir was still singing. When I knew they were about to round up, I stood up, took the mic. The fire of God was all over me. And I preached. By the time I preached for about 15 minutes and the whole place charged up. And you know what? When I made the altar call, if you were here, step out. Over 35 people were healed instantly. And when I dropped the mic, my sickness returned. And I was saying, God, but you just used me to heal. Why would the power go through me and didn't touch me? I wasn't happy that day. And let me tell you, I went back home more sick. As a minister. And I was saying, God, but the thing came through me to them. And somebody could have said, physician, heal yours. Have you seen a doctor healing himself? Even doctors can't attend to their own wives and children. One of my mentors is a medical doctor. He was in the hospital. The 2 of his children were sick at the same time. We got to the hospital with him. We were praying. And we said, Daddy, don't cry. You're a doctor. He said, I'm not a doctor. In this case, I'm a father. He was crying like a baby. And these are doctors in the hospital that the whole world is falling and there's no problem. I see it. Now it happens to him. He was crying. A consultant of over 30 years. He was in tears. There are things that happen. You question God. Lord, why me? And like Archbishop Benson Dowser said in his days, why not you? Why not you? Look, all my mates are married. I'm not married. From the Federal Office of Statistics, where did you get that? That all your mates are married and you are the only one. All my mates have children. I'm the only one remaining. Where did you get your data? That all your mates are married. But God is a rewarder. If there is something you are looking for years, and you have not seen in your life, I declare this year, receive it in the name of Jesus. When you press upon him, the word comes. The word comes. Like I mentioned yesterday. Oh Lord, if you don't give me a wife, if you don't give me a husband, I will backslide. Please. Wait. God is worth waiting for. We don't like to wait. You know that? I wanted to travel some years back. I got some money for my fuel in my bank account, and I went there. I slot in the card. Hey, come out. It didn't come out. Wait while your transaction process it quick. And if you don't give me my money, give me my card back. The card went inside. That was the only where will I get money to travel? I went to the bank. I said, it's not my card I'm asking for. Give me money here. But honestly, nobody likes to wait. Wait while my transaction is being processed. What are you processing? My friend, I began to hit the machine. In the name of Jesus, come out. But God is worth waiting for. So what I've been waiting, and he has not come. He has not shown up. My wife got pregnant for the third time. Boom! And the baby came. Year 2000. 2001, another one came. And people said, when I didn't have, you didn't talk. They said, 2001. We tried. Two boys. And then I said, Lord, I want a girl. And the girl came, boom. Guess what I call her? Demilade. That's all. That's no more. I'm okay. Two boys, one girl. My younger sister is here. They said she looks like my younger sister. She looks like me, not you. Two years later, my wife told me she was pregnant. Who impregnated you? Now that I said Demilade, which one, what would I call this one? That I didn't ask God for. I was crying some years ago. Lord, give me children. Now I have three. And I said, God, that's okay. So what will I call this one? Korede, Kolade, good. Demilade, that's all. So when this one came, I said, okay. Now that God has given me that day, I will tell you my day. What was not there, it came to pass. It became more than enough. What you are crying for now, in years to come, you will say to the Lord, it is enough. Will reply, I am the God of abundance. I am the God of overflow. Take more. He doesn't use people and dump them. Now that I've used your boat, go back. Peter could have said, I didn't plan to go back today. I'll come back tomorrow. But tonight, I'll come back. He said, go now. He said, throw your nets. For what? For a catch. You get something. And they're asking you, what have you gotten since you have been serving him? Give us the proof of your service to God. Give us the proof of your commitment to God. Give us the proof of your faithfulness to God. Give us the proof of your loyalty. And the world is asking. Your friends are asking. Your colleagues are asking. They said, serving God has not profited you. If you get God's word, there is nothing you cannot get. Because everything that God has is in his word. Healing is in his word. In Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. In the word of God is healing. In the word of God is deliverance. You are here. You have been struggling with one sin or the other. Psalm 119 verse 9, how with us shall a young man cleanse his way? He said, but by taking heed thereunto according to your word. Verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. You are looking around your life, around your family, around your everything, and you are asking, where is the inheritance that Jesus promised me? In Acts chapter 20 verse 32, what does the scripture say? I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Your inheritance is in the word. Why will you wake up in the morning and you will not read the Bible? Store the word of God in your heart for a time to come. When you need it, you draw it out. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly. Where? In you, inside you. The word of God should be inside, not outside. The word of God should not be inside the blue book you place under your pillow. When we were growing up, my parents taught us to read Psalm 91. Anybody ready? Like we read it in Yoruba, because we're having bad dreams. I learned spiritual warfare from bad dreams. The devil punished me with dreams. The devil hit me hard with dreams. You just lay down and you see a hand, you feel a hand pressing you. You want to shout? You cannot shout. Raise your leg, you can't raise your arms. And it told you could see the cocoa gal go. You my baby to look married. And you will need to look only a boo at your team. Or no me. And it's me back and need to talk your bawa. No way, keep on okay. And at the end of the day, that same night, they will come again. I went to my children's room one day, my two boys. I said, look at how dirty your room is. I said, look, if your room is dirty, demons will be here. You'll be having nightmares. And they looked at me and they were amazed at what I said. They said, we don't have bad dreams. If you knew what I went through from bad dreams, no bad dream. Awa kanti fori jagbo tori ti woni. Why will you suffer for the things Jesus died to set you free from? Why will that sickness remain in your body? Why would the doctor tell you, you are going to live with this sickness for the rest of your life? At 28, a boy was in my house, sick. And he was carrying around, sphygmomanometer. 28 years, measuring blood pressure every day. I said, you are too young for this. Hey. Oh, take me 16 now. Oh, take me 17 now. He was carrying sphygmomanometer at 28, still single. What are you thinking about? I said, this thing is demonic. Get rid of it. Don't live with that sickness. Don't believe the word that the doctors will tell you. You are going to be on this medication for the rest of your life. I'm not saying you should not use medication. Please, I've not said don't use medication. When the doctors prescribe medication for me, I use them. Okay? But I stand in faith And I said, Lord, I can't live on this. How will I fast? They asked me to take this one in the morning, one in the evening. How will I fast? How will I preach the gospel? They told me my blood pressure was rising. I went to see the dentist. He said, go and see your physician. And I went to God. At what age? And I said, I know what to do. I changed my lifestyle. I will rearrange my priorities. I'll give myself some rest. And then after about a few weeks later, I went back to the doctor. They said they wanted to check my BP. I said, no problem. And sometimes when they want to check your BP, what rises? They had to be pumping more blood. But this time I said, oh, come on. And as they wanted to check it, I had something. 128.70. So I said, check. Exactly what I had in my ears. Don't live with that sickness. Don't live with that pain. Don't accept that as your lot in life. I was in the church in Akure a few months ago. Somebody was in the church. It was after 1 month. The pastor sent me the testimony. She had gone to see the doctor and they told her liver was enlarged. Fatty liver. Bigger than normal. And they said, you come back, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And she came to the church. And I came to minister. And after that, she went back to see the doctor. And the doctor said, where have you gone to? What I'm saying is different from what I saw the other time. This liver has become normal. That's how everything about your system will become normal. Amen. That's how every organ in your body will function normally. Amen. There shall be no kidney failure. Amen. Your liver will not fail. Amen. An old man said, did he allow us to eat? We were young, did he allow us to eat egg? Now that we are old, we have money. They said we should not eat it again. We eat it all. How will you have money? You will not enjoy it. Have you read the book of Ecclesiastes? Where the preacher will say, look, there is a man that God has blessed and he's not enjoying it. The blessing of the Lord make her rich and addeth no sorrow. You will enjoy God. You will enjoy your riches. You will enjoy God's blessing. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says he has given us all things richly to enjoy. You will enjoy your marriage. You will enjoy your husband. You will enjoy your wife. You will enjoy your parents. You will enjoy your children. Hey, you will enjoy your work. You will enjoy your service to God. He won't use you and dump you. He said, get to the IC. Throw your net for a catch. Not throw your nets in vain. I've not said unto the house of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. He will not tell you to do anything in vain. May your prayers never be in vain. Your offerings, may they not be in vain. May your sacrifices never be in vain. Psalm 20 verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Say, strengthen the heart of Zion. He said, may the Lord remember your message, your offering, and your burnt sacrifices. Nothing you do that will be in vain from today. In the name of Jesus. How will you say, they are trying to cover, like we said yesterday, they are trying to cover my glory. Who will cover your glory? Where did you hear that? Stop hearing some of these programs on television you don't like. Some of these programs that put fear in your heart. Arelu, Iririaye. Get to the word of God and hear the sound word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. When you are going through some news and they say somebody was kidnapped and is stealing, don't read it, go leave it. You won't be kidnapped. You are not the one they are looking for. Get the word into your heart. You shall hear a word behind you say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You say you are confused. What, one lady sent a text for me from I think I said it the other time, from Osobo. He said, these are the names of the brothers who are showing interest. He wrote down their names and put for one, also known as AKA this. He said, just tell me which one. And I replied, he that findeth a wife, not they that find a wife. You don't need a committee to find a wife. Till tomorrow, I've been married for over 26 years. I've never seen my wife in one dream of my life. One dream. All the dreams I've been having, I've not seen my wife there once. And somebody is telling you, you must have a dream. It's not compulsory. How did that? I saw her and I said, this is the one. I've been saying it. Prior to that time, I had been saying it. I said, when I see the wife I will marry, I will know. I said, this is the one. I said, anytime I see you, I'm just happy. You are the one. I didn't say, just say the Lord. I knew. And I told her. And you are confused. At 30, you say you are praying. Brothers, what are you praying? And somebody has told you must have a dream. It's not compulsory. You don't have to see visions. I've only seen vision once in my life. Only once. And I've been asking for more. No vision has ever come. Get the word. My son. Proverbs 4 verse 20. Say, my son, attend to my words. Give ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You can't read the word and be sick. Yeah, it's malaria. Malaria. It's everything is remember. Everything is remember. Malaria. Malaria. Archbishop Bidaus, I listened to him. Said, Dr. Moses Anosela, I was a student on campus. He said, it's not malaria. I said, it's not malaria. And then he asked us, is it your malaria? It's not malaria. It's not our malaria. It's the malaria. Don't help the devil to give an excuse for your sickness. Once I'm bitten by mosquito, I will go. I'll go to the hospital. It's not compulsory. Change. If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he who raised Christ from the dead shall quicken. My wife, when we had our first baby, at the point she was breastfeeding, she said, the way this boy is sucking this thing, I need vitamins. And I was a poor preacher. She said, this, you know what they call naked stew on campus? Naked stew. You don't know naked stew? No meat. No fish, no egg, no crayfish, just no pump, everything empty, very naked soup. And my wife said, we must have something. So I went to pray. Lord, we must have something. We must have meat. And where I lived then and still live now. In Arabic, I said, there was still some bush around our house. And my neighbor's dog caught a big rodent. Okete? You know what they call okete? Big one. Long tail. I don't like dog. I don't play with dogs. But that day when I saw the thing in his mouth, just caught, just killed it, I went to the dog. Come on. This must be the answer to my prayer. I took the thing from his mouth. The pot was full. And my wife said, don't forget, that woman whose dog caught it, we must give her. As I was preparing to go, I remember she's from Ondo Town. In Ondo Town, they don't eat it. So we sat down with it alone. I'm saying this to tell you. Let me tell you. Your silent cries comes to his ears. If I need me today, I won't pray that kind of prayer again. You know, prosperity will make some prayer points to drop out of your life. That's why I pity those who pray 300 prayer points in 1 hour. Not just prosperity will drop some prayer points out of your life. Knowledge makes some prayer points to go. There are things you don't pray for again with knowledge. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According as his divine mercy hath he given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. With increase in knowledge, your prayer points will reduce. There are things you won't cry about again. They will just come. Your inheritance will just come. I don't buy clothes. I can't remember when last I bought. That's why, JJ, this was what you gave me. This one. The shoe I wore yesterday, he gave me. That's Prophet Adumbani. Somebody said, you want this? I said, I want. I don't reject you too. I said, God said, don't take it. If I have 10 crates of eggs at home, and you see, ask me, you want? I want. A friend of mine came to see me just now and left. He asked me, it's been a long time, he sent me some money. And then he asked me, do you have widows I want to help? Ah, I said, I have them plenty. He said, I just need one. So I sent the account number of one of them. And that one called me. I saw 200,000 naira. I said, that's good. He called me again. He said, you said you have them. I said, I have them plenty. He said, five more names. I said, five more. And all of them were calling me and they were rolling on the floor. This is too much. I said, more, we come. Look, may God raise people for your life. May God wipe away your tears. And the man went to the IC, threw his net, and the Bible says he was not able to do what? To draw what he caught. Until Toleni, Umbawapo Julola. He couldn't draw them. And then the Bible says he did what? He beckoned to his friends. They were just friends. Look, if your blessing has not affected your friends, you are a poor man. If your blessing has not affected your siblings, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, you are a poor man. Look, their boss were standing together. That was their blessing. Work with the right set of people. That look, this thing can rob on. If you are poor, look for a rich man, be his friend. Don't collect his money, just be his friend. When you walk with the right set of people, certain things rob on your life. When they mention certain amount of money before, I want to collapse. So I took a man, a rich man became my friend. I didn't collect his money, we're just friends. The man will be talking big money. I said, but my mentality was changing. And the thing robbed on me. It robs. It's like pomade. It's like body lotion. Some people must contact some things just because they are living beside you. Just because they associate with you. That's why you can't afford to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There are people you must cut off with. And that one came. James and John came with their empty boat. And they got them filled up. Filled up. You think they will break away from each other? John will call. James and John say, when are you going again? So I can join you. And you know what? Peter brought that fish to the land, to the shore. And he said to Jesus, woe is me. Like Isaiah said yesterday, woe is me, I'm a sinner, depart from me. And Jesus said, henceforth, you will catch men. You know where God meets people? God meets people in their places of work. God encounters people, not only in prayer, not only when they read the Bible, in your place of work, he encounters you. The one you gave us as he was at the backside of the wilderness, that was where God encountered. He was just following sheep around. That was where he encountered God. Moses. May you encounter God in your place of work. May you see his favor. May you experience his kindness from people who walk with you in the name of Jesus. And he drew everything to the shore. And Jesus said, henceforth, you won't catch fish again. You will catch men. You know what he was trying to tell them? The reason I made you to catch so many fishes like this is because I wanted to tell you, you must catch men. Some don't understand the purpose of prosperity. Some don't understand why God has blessed them so much. Some don't know. It is meant ultimately to reach out for soul winning, to get more people into the kingdom. And if you look at the last part, verse 11 of Luke chapter 5, surprisingly, after catching so many fishes, I thought he would carry them home. Don't forget, Peter had a mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law doesn't come to live with you if there were no children. Peter had wife, had children. His mother-in-law was, if you want to misbehave, if your mother-in-law is with you, you will behave well. You will be a very good husband because you are now taking care of two women in your house and they can conspire against you. So if your mother-in-law is living with you, behave well. So Peter must take something home. But after that, the Bible says he left all. Why did you go to catch fish? Why did you go to catch fish? To carry them home. And when Jesus called him, the Bible says he left all. He left everything. Turned his back. You know what that means? You get to a point in your encounter with God, the things of the world no longer appeal to you again. You can turn your back on wealth. You can walk away from money. I want to preach somewhere for Corpus Fellowship. And I didn't have money the day I went there. Years back, it was my last money I dropped as offering. And they wanted to give me my heart was on that honorarium, honestly. Because I had dropped my last money. So when I preach, you give me money. So when my heart was on this honorarium, I just told myself, I will not take it. Yeah. So when they offered me, I said, no. I said, just take it that I came to fellowship with you. But the thing pained me myself. Because as I entered my car and I switched on my set, I saw my wife's text message, buy bread when you are coming. I should have seen this before rejecting this money. But Peter turned his back and walked away. Learn to walk away, even from gifts, if you know they are traps. If your heart is on them, walk away from them. Nothing must possess your heart other than Jesus. I respect you if you have money, but I respect you more if you can turn your back on it, if you can let it go. He caught so many fishes and he left everything and followed Jesus. That is the essence of encounter with God. And that brings me to this song. I don't know whether you know how to sing it. Say, when I look into your holiness, and then he says, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. When all things that surround become what? Shadows. They are nothing. They are nothing. Only God matters to you. So I believe for everyone waiting on God for something, this year is your season. You won't miss it. You won't miss it. Amen. That blessing will not elude you. Amen. That breakthrough will come. Amen. You will step out to give testimonies. Amen. This year, receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen.